Hey, this is Bernie AI, and from the show From Zero to Creator. So now I'm in Nakameguro Station. It's in the southwest part of Tokyo, just below Shibuya. And there's a river. And what's special about here are the sakura trees. There are many places to see sakura trees in Tokyo. But here there's some special thing that they have a river, which is a deep concreted, but it's a river still. And then there's the sakura trees next to it, like a lot of them. So it's like a canal with sakura tree. Today I arrive here and it's still, there's no blossom. I really hope that next week, maybe a week and a half from now, while I was still here, I can actually see the sakura tree here, because the way how things are positioned, so you have like this canal, but is the water itself is actually low. And then there's this huge wall surrounding the river, because the, just a second. So you have the river, and then there's this wall of 3-4 meters high, and then you have the street level, and then you have the trees surrounding the canal. The trees, they grow in such a way that they are actually not just going straight up vertically, but they also go slightly horizontally. So when the cherry blossom, it will actually be covering the canal quite a lot, and there's a lot of pedestrian bridges, small bridges in between each block of the streets. So it will be amazing to actually take pictures in this place, because it will give us those elements that usually are classic in a sakura picture, like the water, the plants. Other than the sakura tree themselves, there's also pink lanterns distributed everywhere. So if you see during the night or see during the day, it's going to give you a different vibe. I wish I could stay for both time, but first of all, I need to even see if they are going to blossom while I'm still here. It would be very close. Can see the small buds coming out, but they're still tiny. And maybe they accelerate. I have no idea at this point. So I will be back, and hopefully I can actually compare the before and after by recording and some of the pictures and share with you guys about what's going on. So in here, Nakameguro, as I was saying, there's no tree. I will try to actually prompt using Meet Journey this time. For Stable Diffusion, I have to connect to my home computer, and my home computer internet is bad. So I have to stay in, the workflow doesn't work that well. So I will use, let me go to my Discord and let me type my prompt. Prompt, photorealistic, 24mm, ISO 100. You see, like a lot of this stuff that I type, but you don't actually have to do it. However, it gives a slight subtle effect. These camera settings. And then what else I need to put? Natural lighting, because that's where I am. And then I will put an amazing moody once in a lifetime photo of beautiful sakura tree blossom on a canal with water and a train station with train moving in the background. Let me see, train, water. Oh, I cannot stand up here. With lantern moving in the background on a very beautiful sunny day. And what else that I can describe? Style, raw, and then I save my prompt just in case I need to generating. I'm using Relax, so it will take some time. Meanwhile, the way that I did is literally seeing what I'm experiencing and then describing it to Meet Journey and see the results, right? As I said, even though the prompting will become easier, what all these platforms are trying to do is to increase the number of users into their platform. And to do that, they are basically lowering the requirements to actually have the skills of creating those images, right? So instead of like describing all these stuff that I'm doing for Midjourney, and even for Stable Diffusion is even worse because you have to tweak, fine tune the settings, the numbers, the lowers and stuff like that in order to get the results that you want. With Midjourney, Bing, Deo, whatever, you literally just write like, oh, I want a river with Sakura tree, done. And then you might get, by chance, similar results. So from that perspective, it's like, look, B, you can call me B, guys. B as Barani AI. B is like, you are not going to be able to survive doing this because everybody's going to create that easily, right? I don't think so. If you really think about social media in general, like all small businesses, everybody can actually become a creator instantaneously. But the proportion, I think the last data that I saw from the web is that the number of creators is less than 1% of the total number of users. So the ratio of creators to view audience is about 1 to 100, probably less. If you use that measurement, regardless if that's true or not, in theory, if you post something or do something, you already have 100 people checking out, right? Obviously, it's not true because I have other accounts, my personal account and stuff like that. And I just have like maybe one or two or three or five people looking at it at best. But again, media thing, it's a very skewed industry. And unfortunately, as we move more digitization of the economy and things like that, it feels like it's a winner take all kind of economy. And that's why the discrepancy inequality is getting worse. My friend hasn't arrived yet. Let's see the results of the image. Oh, actually, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. The position of the train is a little bit weird. It's coming vertically along the river instead of like a perpendicular. So let's see if we can fix it. But the results are stunning. It has all the elements that I'm seeing in real life. And let me fix. And a train station perpendicular to the river with train moving in the background on a very beautiful sunny day. I will put midday because now it's mid. No, not mid sunny. Mid sunny is not going to make any sense. Midday. Let's try again. So you're witnessing or hearing, not actually seeing. You can see actually for my post later in my website. I will post on my website, but not on the social media. So check it out on brani.ai. You'll see that basically the images of before and after, like the real picture, and obviously the ones generated with the first prompt that you've seen, and then the second. I don't know if it's going to record my voice or the background noise of the train arriving. So I hope this is a train that my friend is arriving. I don't know. Isn't coming. Is it going to be perpendicular or vertical? As much as most of the time, the Midjourney V6, it's pretty good in understanding your prompt, but as you become more and more specific, oh, I want things to be like this, I want things to be like that, then it goes off. No. Yeah, Midjourney can't put the train perpendicular to the river. Maybe I have to tweak the prompt. And some of them, the train is actually going through the river. It's kind of cool effect. Although not real. In any way. And also the image just comes during the sunset kind of idea instead of a midday. Even though I put midday. There's one that it's midday, but the train is not in its best. Oh, the lantern. Let me remove the lantern. Because when it has a lantern, it doesn't have the midday. So you see, these are the kind of nuances that the AI won't understand even with Stable Diffusion 3 and beyond. It's because for two reasons. Training data, and then you have to caption. And then the other thing is the people who create those models, they are not paying attention to these little details. Even with the support of AI, they usually automate with other AIs to actually caption and training. So basically you're using more and more AIs to actually do the heavy lifting of some of the trainings itself. And then all these models will be used to improve the next generation of AI. That's actually how things are going fast. But still, these nuances are not captured and you only know that when you are actually in real life, try to describe and replicate an image, and then you realize it's not gonna work. But the misunderstanding from the current public is that, oh, they can replicate everything. It's just do a simple prompt. No, it doesn't work like that. But unfortunately, you have to try it, and then you will understand. I remove the lantern in this prompt, and let's wait one more time. And there's a lot of people walking on the street today. It's Saturday, it's sunny day, it's the weekend. It's pretty good. Again, sometimes I like the simple stuff, no fancy stuff. Just walking around, people watching, thinking about, like what I'm seeing in front of me is a truck. Truck here in Tokyo are smaller. They're probably the size of a pickup truck, even smaller than a pickup truck with the back. And I'm seeing like all these beer in a big aluminum bottle. And the car is pink. The truck is pink with the back with a plastic yellow cover with a little bit of silverish of the inner lining out with the bottle of the bottle with the cases of beer sake bottle outside. You know what it means, right? It means that I'm gonna try to create this prompt in me journey and see how good it is. So we take a picture first. So we have a comparison of before and after. So this is the truck that I'm going to replicate. And again, I'm specializing text to image or text to video prompts. There's limitations about using this technique. It doesn't mean that I don't know to use the other ones, but most of the, I would say that the artists that are going to win it, so I don't have a better word for winning, but the ones that will succeed are having higher chance to succeed and make something unique are the ones that move beyond just text to image or text to video. Usually a lot of these artists already show that they will use this to create the base, but they need to do the post-processing with a lot of editing skills, which means that the existing current graphic designers, 3D artists, and so on, will have an edge. For me, it's actually easier for them to just learn text to image, text to video, whatever technology, and then enhance it in their existing workflow versus me, which I'm coming from zero. I'm telling you, I'm coming from zero, not just creator perspective, but artistic and skill set ability is coming from zero, and then I need to do the post-processing without the skill set. Let me describe on me journey. So photorealistic, and then 24 mm. You can use a 30 mm ISO 100, focus 1.8 to get the bokeh without having to use the bokeh. I will make a different sunny lighting. A very cute Japanese truck, small pink truck holding. This might not be the word, but I don't have a better word for that. Holding cases of colorful soda bottles, sake bottles, beer bottles, and aluminum beer bottles with a yellow plastic covering partially the back of the truck style. Oh. A lot of interesting thing happens with Leonardo.ai, Midjourney. There are some other services out there, tons of them there right now. It's very interesting. When Stable Diffusion has a new release about new feature, let's say the IP adapter, basically this module allows us to copy the style as well as the character more faithfully without having to train a LoRA for it. A couple of weeks later, you see the new feature in Midjourney, in Leonardo, and it feels like the newest thing in the block, right? It's very interesting. And that's why, oh my goodness, again. And that's why, at least I suspect, and a lot of people suspect that these services, they're just using Stable Diffusion behind, but they make it easier for the end user because they create the best fine-tuned settings as well as the workflow. And also, they manage the computing power that they requires to generate those images faster, right? It's like they use probably A100 RXT or the H100, which is the newest top model of graphic card from NVIDIA with 96 gigabytes of VRAM, which we mortals don't have access because it costs $20,000 or $30,000 just for the graphic card. And then you have to have specialized computer to have it. It's not the normal desktop computer to run those things effectively. The image is still being generated, but let's see the results very soon. Oh my goodness, my friend hasn't arrived yet. Wait a second. It's incredible. There's so many trains coming in and out of this station that it's amazing. Oh my goodness, this is so cute. Not exactly the way that I... If you compare the before and after, yes, this is pink truck. It's correct. It's small, cute, like the real thing, yes. But the cases are not right. So I will just regenerate this, but I will change something here. Colorful. I will avoid colorful. And then... bottle cases on a truck on a bridge in Nakamaguro station in Tokyo with cherry blossom along the canal during amazing sunny day. Let's see how that turns out. So when you are creating prompts, that's actually the iterative process. And as you work on this, you will realize that it takes so much time to actually sit down and keep refining the work. And the skill set to do this is very different. So I usually see a lot of similarities of a DJ and what I call myself, let's say image jockey, where we don't generate, like similar to the disc jockey or DJ, they're not literally playing a drum. They're not literally playing an instrument. They're just playing the samples. Sometimes those sounds are generated artificially or digitally or via analog machine. In our case, we use words to activate these AI models to generate the images. And therefore, the traditional way of how we see art, like why DJ might not be an artist. Some of them are, and some of them don't, and that's a different discussion. But music instrument, musician play an instrument, and immediately the sound comes from the instrument itself because of the physical property of it. The DJ instead uses virtual knobs, keyboards, and stuff to play a sound that might be recorded previously somewhere or generated artificially in an indirect way. Therefore, this indirectness of the intent of the artist to the sound, it's what makes it distant. And therefore, from the eyes of many people, less valuable. And the same thing happens with the images or video generation, where like we are not directly painting or taking a picture of those images. We are using an indirect process where we generate our words, and then that gets translated into this black box of AI, and then it comes out the image from it. So there's an indirect process. But I strongly believe, just like what happens with the digital let's say disc jockey or the DJ, is that we might have something similar happening with the image jockey or IJ. And I have a blog post about that in my website. And then let's see how the image generation is. Wait, are you kidding me? Come on, download. Oh, this is bad. Oh my goodness, this is much better. The truck, the cover, the bottle is still not exactly the way. The pink is too light pink instead of dark pink, but that's easily doable, changeable. The truck on the river and the canal is spot on. It's pretty good. Now I can make it more complicated. You see, the more complicated, the more details you put, the less chance you will get what you want. And the final version, and that's it for this podcast. Okay, so the current one, photorealistic 24 ISO focus, sunny lighting, a very cute Japanese small pink truck holding cases of bottle cases and aluminum beer bottles with a yellow plastic covering partially the back of the truck on the bridge in Nakamura Station in Tokyo with cherry blossom along the canal during an amazing sunny day. Hear it? There is arriving a train in the background. Now, I won't discuss the results of this prompt here. You can check on my website. Just see the image of the pink truck and you will see the results of the full discussion that I had here. And or maybe let's wait and I will show you, because my friend said that he will arrive a little bit later. But I'm having fun doing this podcast because I can actually generate, even though it's not visual, not seeing it. Again, you can see from a website. And this is the process that I've been doing in my trip. It's pretty cool. And along the way, sometimes I just use ChatGPT and I chat with ChatGPT to see some of the results, right? Or actually to understand a little bit better. Oh my goodness. And sometimes I use ChatGPT to actually serve as a guide, tour guide, and also record, log my trip, which is great actually. Okay, let me activate one of this chat and let's have a quick conversation with ChatGPT. So I would like you to tell me a little bit more information of the station and the surrounding area of Nakameguro Station here in Tokyo. Can you do that?
Meguro Station, located in the Meguro Ward of Tokyo, is renowned for its picturesque scenery, especially during the cherry blossom season. The area around the station transforms into one of Tokyo's most sought-after spots for viewing sakura. The Meguro River, which flows near the station, is lined with hundreds of cherry trees that bloom magnificently in spring, creating a stunning canopy of flowers above the riverbanks. During this season, the area hosts the Nakameguro Sakura Festival, attracting visitors and locals alike who come to enjoy the blossoms, street food, and festive atmosphere. Beyond cherry blossom season, Nakameguro is a trendy, laid-back neighborhood known for its hip boutiques, unique cafes, and eclectic restaurants. It's a place where fashion, art, and culture blend seamlessly. The shopping experience ranges from vintage clothing stores to contemporary design shops, offering items you won't find in the more commercial centers of Tokyo. The area is also famous for its dining scene, featuring a diverse range of cuisines. From cozy izakayas serving traditional Japanese dishes to stylish cafes offering artisan coffee and pastries, Nakameguro has something for every palate. The neighborhood is particularly well known for its variety of international cuisine, including Italian, French, and other ethnic foods, alongside high-quality Japanese dining options. Another highlight of Nakameguro is its calm and inviting atmosphere, which contrasts with the bustling energy of other parts of Tokyo. Walking along the Meguro River, especially outside the cherry blossom season, offers a peaceful escape from the city's fast pace. The riverside becomes a popular spot for locals to stroll, jog, or simply relax. Nakameguro's blend of natural beauty, trendy lifestyle, and culinary delights makes it a must-visit destination in Tokyo, offering a different perspective on the city's diverse character. Whether you're there to witness the breathtaking sakura, explore unique shops, or enjoy a leisurely meal by the river, Nakameguro provides a charming experience that combines the best of Tokyo's urban culture with the serenity of its natural surroundings.
So that's actually how I use ChatGPT, and that's my special guest for my podcast, to understand the places without having to Google search and then read it. And then, well, Google search right now is a little bit hard to use because it's like it has so many of these clickbait sites. You click and there's this first article that talks about the history of Japan, and then eventually it goes to what matters to you, or it leads you to YouTube video, which is sad because that's how they are making the most ads money, right? And then you don't have time to watch a 10 minutes video that follows the same thing. It's like the first five talks about totally something else, and then it gives you the answer at the end so they can actually grab advertising money. So that's the state of the internet where we are today, and it feels like the beginning of the internet where we were spammed with ads until we get overloaded. For those who remember Alta Vista Excite, you know what I'm talking about. Which also means that there might be a chance that there's also a chance that might be a disruption in this industry again, because people will just get fed up. And maybe AI is an answer for that, right? People, they pay to have access to AI, and the AI will just give them the answer without any interruption until someday somebody invent this system where they will just insert recommendations tailored to your thing via AI, right? So let's see. I wouldn't be surprised if things evolve like that. Okay, it's been fun, this podcast. I wasn't actually planning to make the podcast like this, but for this particular podcast, What We Touch, I describe a little bit Nakameguro, which is a perfect spot to see sakuras here in Tokyo. There's no sakura yet, so I will be doing the same thing probably a week and a half from now before I leave Japan. And the other thing is, I used the scenery of Nakameguro area to generate some images on Midjourney V6. You can see the results on my website. And then this interaction of what I'm seeing real life to the images that I generate is something that I actually do quite constantly throughout my trip. I just didn't structure it in a way like this before, so now I acquire a new thing. I learned something new. And then as we move to later on, I also describe how I actually leverage ChatGPT, this special guest, to help me understand the local culture as well as the place I am in a very easy, accessible way compared to other means. And it makes the trip interesting enough, more human. I don't know about what you think. What do you think about having an AI as your tour guide or as your travel companion? Thanks for listening. This is Brawny AI from Zero to Creator, and I hope to see you again. Bye.